It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your hosts, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 1-800-818-2255, and Let's Talk Legal.
Let's Talk Legal with Harvell & Collins, attorneys of law, the right advice at the right time. You can call our 800 number. You can also call our local numbers, and Mandy will answer.
Yeah, call me at 247-7282 or 353-4674.
And Wes Collins is in the studio with us this morning. Good morning, Wes.
Hey, Ben. How are you?
I'm doing all right. ACC tournament starts today, so productivity in this afternoon
does,
will go way down.
It does. And, you know, I played basketball at Furman, and they played last night.
Oh, they did?
Get in, and they lost by three.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's not something that happens for Furman very often. They haven't been very good every year. So I did get to watch.
Well, in fact, I heard they were like 10th in the league, and they made it all the way to the championship game.
Well, they only won 8 games all year.
Yeah,
and then they decided at the end of the year
to win three
in the tournament. Played in the championship, lost by 3 last night. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, proud to see them. I think they'll be good, probably next year, next couple of years, because they got a lot of freshmen, sophomores.
That's good.
So that'll be nice to see my old school.
Yeah, my alma mater lost in the finals too. William and Mary. Last night.
I saw that. Yeah, and they've never been there.
Yeah. One of I think only a half a dozen Division I teams to never make it.
Yeah.
Of course, that's one of the reasons why we thought they shouldn't be Division I when I was there.
Well,
but they beat Wake Forest and North Carolina when I was there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about what's going on in the legal system.
Yeah, well,
here.
You know, we talked about estate administration for the past 2 or 3 weeks. You know, we talked about the elective share and how important that is, and folks who want to learn about that who weren't able to listen in can go on to harvellandcollins.com and link onto that and listen to those shows. Those are really important shows, especially for folks who are in second marriages. Important to understand how that works.
Right,
we've talked about estate administration some. And the fiduciary duty of the executor or administrator of the estate. Today we're going to change gears a little bit and talk about just the general civil litigation process.
Mm-hmm.
Civil litigation, people ask me all the time, what do you do, Wes? and I guess the best way to describe it is anything that's not criminal. You know,
right.
I just don't do... I mean, it kind of sounds like I'm not a criminal. You know,
I
don't practice in criminal law. So I don't handle traffic tickets and DUIs and any of those criminal type matters that would be state versus John Doe type cases. But I deal with civil litigation primarily. Of course, Harvell and Collins, our law firm, we deal with all matters that are civil. Deal with bankruptcies. Deal with a lot of estate related matters. Real property, real estate related matters. But, I guess a general description when folks ask me that question is that out of all those civil issues, I'm the guy who goes to court. I'm the guy who goes and deals with whatever the litigation matter might be. So when we're talking about general civil litigation, we can be talking about a negligence claim, like a traffic accident. It could be something like that. It could be a trespass. It could be a land dispute with regard to who owns what property. It could be premises liability. Someone was hurt on someone's property. Of course, civil litigation does involve family law related matters as well. And those are heard in the district court. So it's very broad.
Yeah.
Very broad.
Well, and you've added, with adding Andrew onto it, you have a parallel tax court track, too.
That's right. So, Andrew handles the tax-related issues and deals with tax court because he, does have his LLM in taxation. God bless him. I would hate to go through that. Can you imagine a year of studying tax
law?
It takes a special kind for that.
Right.
So... when we're talking about the civil litigation process, of course, that is plaintiff versus defendant or multiple plaintiffs versus multiple defendants or vice versa. And the process is started by, of course, a summons and complaint being issued. Okay, the summons obviously is giving notice to the affected party the fact that a lawsuit's been filed and they've got to step forward and respond to it. The complaint, obviously, is a document where you set forth all of your allegations, you set forth your claims. You have to be specific in some areas, and in North Carolina, you can be general in others. Generally, North Carolina is a notice pleading state, meaning you just have to have a general statement of the facts
right.
in your complaint.
Right.
You know, if you don't do those kind of things, then your complaint could get dismissed,
mm-hmm.
which is a no-no, of course. We don't want to go there.
But he said a general statement of fact. In other mm-hmm. words, somebody believes they've been wronged,
right.
but they may not know all the details yet.
That's right. right. That's where we get to the next level, which is discovery, and mm-hmm. we add more in. But in the event you're going to bring a claim, which sometimes, you know, we do find ourselves with facts that support a claim for fraud
mm-hmm.
or for maybe unfair and deceptive trade practices or some type of intentional deceptive act, the statutes in North Carolina are pretty specific about that, as we need to plead those type issues with particularity.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have the detail with regard to, okay, if you think you were defrauded, you need to give as much as much detail as you possibly can in order to support that claim. You can't just be general.
Mm-hmm.
So,
like in contract law?
Well, it could be contract. You know, usually it would be contract. It could be relating to a business.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it could be, you know, really, really anything.
But specific performance sort of has a ring to it, a specificity. You know?
It does,
right.
and I'll talk about that in
okay.
a moment. But to get the process started in civil litigation, you know, you should have a well-drafted complaint.
I right.
mean, that's where we start first.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, again, when we file the complaint, we're wanting to include every claim that is supported by our facts. We're wanting to make a decision at that point in time, do we want a jury or do we not want a jury?
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, very, very important. If in the event that you don't elect to have a jury within a certain amount of time, if you don't amend that to add a jury demand in your complaint, then you waive that right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very important. And the defendant also, in response to the complaint, can ask for a jury as well. So once the complaint is filed, then there's a 30-day, depending on what court we're in, but usually in state court, it's a 30-day period of time in which the defendant or defendants have to answer that complaint. And what they're doing is they're having to come forward and respond to each of those allegations. I admit this, I deny this, or I don't know this, therefore I
right.
deny it. And then you raise the defenses as the defendant that you think apply to it. Could be statute of limitations. The case is too old.
Mm-hmm.
We're raising statute of limitations. It could be statute of frauds. This was a contract for real estate, purchase of real estate in North Carolina that has to be in writing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be a multitude of different defenses that need to be raised. But there are certain defenses that we refer to as the affirmative defenses that have to be raised in that answer.
Mm.
And in the event you don't raise them, you waive them forever.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of them is the statute of limitations.
Oh, okay.
If you go ahead and answer and you don't raise statute of limitations, then you waive that right to bring that as a defense, unless
mm-hmm.
the court allows you to for some reason at a later date, which is unlikely.
Well, that's, again, a good reason for, if you're presented with that complaint, for having legal advice, because you may not know what the statute of limitations are, right?
No question about that. And
mm-hmm.
we were talking about, you know, preparing a complaint, preparing an answer, you know, all of these pleadings. This is what this is called, the pleading stage of the case, because this is starting the process of
mm-hmm.
the civil litigation. Ben, there are so many pitfalls there.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not an attorney, use extreme caution, number one. And number two, if you're not an attorney who practices in litigation,
right.
you probably need to get a little help the first several times you do this, maybe first dozen or so times, because
yeah.
there's lots of pitfalls there that, you know, an attorney in response to it can take advantage of and really end your case pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're talking about the civil litigation, also you mentioned specific performance, and that brings up a good point, because the remedies that we're dealing with when we end up in court in a civil litigation case really fall into two categories. One is a legal remedy,
mm-hmm.
and legal remedy is usually money.
Right.
Okay, I was hurt in this car accident. The insurance company didn't offer hardly anything.
Right.
And I've got $25,000 worth of medical bills.
Right.
You know, so we're asking the jury to make a determination as to what our damages are
mm-hmm.
as a result of the negligence of the other driver. That's a legal remedy. An equitable remedy, on the other hand, would be a remedy like specific performance.
Right.
We have a contract. The contract indicates that you are to do this certain thing.
Mm-hmm.
You have not done this certain thing, and I'm asking the court to enter an injunction or some type of order of specific performance to require you to do this.
Right.
That's like you either do this or don't do it. An equitable remedy could also be something like, you know, my neighbor is planning on cutting down the 200-year-old oak tree,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's on my property. He says it's on his. I need to get an injunction to stop this before
right.
that happens, because obviously once it's gone, it's gone.
It's gone, yeah.
Right. So that's just a real general explanation is the difference between a legal remedy and an equitable.
Okay, remedy. We have Kurt in Moorhead City, I think, who has a question for us. Hey, Kurt, how are you?
Hey, good. Good to hear you guys this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I got a question about my land. A neighbor built up their land next to mine so that they had perk and all, which flooded me out. And it's keeping me flooded a lot of times this year. So what can I do about that?
Okay. That's one that does happen around here. Fair
right.
amount.
Kurt, that's a great question. We do deal with that quite often. You know, we have to look at your particular situation. I mean, if we just take the facts that you've given to us, you know, you do have a way to address that in a non-legal way. First, is there something you can do on your property to avoid that? Now, I'm assuming that's not the case, but sometimes we deal with situations where maybe our neighbor has built up the property, and we're in a situation where we can't build up our property
mm-hmm.
because we are where we are, and therefore the water is directed to us.
Right. See, they're putting in a house which will be built on top.
Mine's gotcha.
Already built in the ground, right?
Yeah, your house is already there.
Yeah.
Right. So there is a responsibility that really kind of falls within negligence, but it is specific in North Carolina in dealing with water rights.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're developing your property, you do have to act reasonably with regard to diverting your water. And if you divert your water onto someone else's property and you cause them damage, you are potentially subject to liability for that. So probably the best way to deal with that, Kurt, I would have to tell you that you probably need to get with a good attorney. Sit down, look at the facts. Hopefully that can be addressed by the attorney contacting the neighbor who's creating this issue and kind of laying out the law with regard to his obligations in reasonably developing his property so he doesn't damage you, first of all, and hopefully that would be able to be worked out in some way. Hopefully there's some kind of
diversion.
A berm or something that can be put up that maybe he would cover the cost on that, and that would avoid the process. And in the event that's not the case, then or if he's not willing to do that, then we get into the issue of potentially having to file a lawsuit like we've been talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the event your property is worth for lack of the specificity $100,000 before, but is only worth $50,000 after water is
mm-hmm.
pouring over onto your property all the time and maybe it's damaged, then you are damaged. And the only real way to remedy that is to sell your property and move somewhere else in the event
mm-hmm.
you can't, have some kind of berm or diversion, put up there. So general advice would be, I think that you do have the type of case where you need to sit down with someone. I'd be happy to meet with you at some point in time in my office, and we can discuss the options, but that is a serious issue that needs to be dealt with before it gets worse.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. I appreciate the call. And Ernest, hold on. We're going to have a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. Ernest in Newport wants to have a question as well, too. We get to that in just a moment here on Let's Talk Legal with Harvell & Collins, attorneys at law, online at harvellandcollins.com. Hey, welcome back to Let's Talk Legal with Harvell & Collins, and Wes Collins in the studio with us every Tuesday morning. They bring you this program, and so let's talk now to Ernest in Newport. Hey, Ernest, how are you?
Hi, Ben. How you doing?
Doing all right.
I'm doing very well over here. I'm Longtime resident of Carteret County. I went to school with Cecil. Hi, mm-hmm. Cecil. How are you doing?
So Cecil's not here today, though.
Oh, he's not here.
Early morning appointment. So you,
yeah, just Wes.
Just have me today.
Okay, great. My question is, our neighbor that lives behind us, we live in a subdivision.
Mm-hmm.
He came in and chopped off 50 of his trees down because he had a flooding problem. With water in his backyard, there was no ditch in between our yards.
Mm-hmm.
And Woody, once he took his trees down, he said, he came over and said, "We're going to take all these trees down because they're on the property line, and there are, you know, they're my trees." And but they weren't on his property. And we got a survey done, and he cut down over 950 to 60 to however many year old maple trees. And a live oak, not a live oak, but a longleaf pine. And his property butts right up against a little national forest. So he can't touch those trees, but he cut every one of ours down. And we got a survey done by a surveyor in Beaufort. And he sent us the survey back, and it showed all the stumps where they were at. And we have a good legal case. We put up a 220-foot, 7-foot privacy fence that you can't see through or over. And he immediately put up a big spotlight beam that shines right in my eyeballs every day, and as soon as it gets dark at night, shoots a beam that'll go right through the house all the way. If the curtains are open, it'll go right through that and shine on the neighbor's yard across the street. That was done. That's 4 feet above our. He put that up right after we put our fence up, and it's. He just keeps antagonizing me. Last year, he pulled a gun on me in my backyard because when he was chopping and stump grinding, I kept trying to stop him or stop the loggers that were on our property. And every time I would go out there, I'd call the police. And I was actually arrested once for touching one of the loggers. And, of course, that was thrown out. And there was no, you know, mm-hmm. no legal ramifications on my part because they were on our property. And the next week after I was arrested, they did the same thing, only they came out with chainsaws to cut all the roots out and put a ditch in. And while they were doing that, the police were watching me and, you know, to make sure I didn't go out there and bother them. But they were on our property. And then they weren't there that next week. The police didn't come the next week. But the neighbor set it up so he was in the side of his yard by the National Forest, looking like he was dumping something over his fence, and he, as the loggers were coming with their chainsaws to chop the trees, he walked along that property line until he was right up along my property line, and he pulled out a .45 when I came to the backyard and he was going to shoot me. Hmm. And I had my friend was with us taking pictures of them chopping our trees down, and we videotaped them chopping, and then she switched her camera to pictures, and she took a picture of him with that gun in his hand, pointing it at all three of us. And I've got pictures and video. And
well Ernest, what have you done? What have you done about this legally?
I've talked to the police department in Newport. And they said, you know, I'm going to let him get comfortable. He's comfortable now. I'm not going to put any names out there. I don't, you know,
no,
nobody knows.
No, we don't need names.
No, but did you ever try to like file a complaint or?
I did, but I said I have to do it through the Newport Police Department, and I have to show them those pictures.
Okay.
And I had a thumb drive copy, and then I lost it.
Okay. Well, Ernest, let me ask you a couple questions here. Now,
sure,
when were those trees cut down?
They were cut down. There's a statute of limitations. It hasn't run out yet. I'm pretty familiar with the legal. I don't know the time frames, mm-hmm. but I still need legal help with that.
Well, Ernest, you know there's a statute in North Carolina dealing with wrongful cutting of timber and trees, and that mm-hmm. allows for 1.5% of the value of the trees for
right.
your recovery. It's not just whatever the value of those trees were. So the statute, General Assembly, recognized that this, you know, is a problem. Mm-hmm. And
1.5%, 1.5 times.
Did I say 1.5%?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Early morning.
It's 1.5 times.
1.5 times. Yeah. I'm sorry. Not 1.5%. 1.5 times of the value of the trees.
Right.
So, but in the event that the statute of limitations, which off the top of my head, I think is a 3-year statute, I'd have to look back at it.
Okay.
If that's run, then, you know, you would have no claim at all. Now, in general, I hate to hear this, you know, anything about these neighborhood squabbles. You know, if we could de-escalate this somehow, you know, that would be.
He did this for 6 months.
I understand.
I'm a disabled veteran, 23 years in the Marine Corps. I was a protective service officer for President Bush in Iraq in 2007 on Labor Day on his inner secret service circle. I protected President Obama.
We thank you for your service.
I worked with the president of Kenya, Djibouti, Africa. I was President Maliki's Secret Service agent, or not, I was his Marine gunny, protective service officer, but I was also working with the Secret Service and the CIA and FBI and anybody that we needed to work with to get the security job done.
Right. Ernest, your issue there is, of course, under the statute with regard to the trees being removed, that would be first of all, and then the issue with regard to this obnoxious light that you've described, there may be a nuisance claim there, but this is exactly what we've been talking about this morning. A case involving a plaintiff versus a defendant. This is a civil litigation matter. You know, in the event there's any type of criminal activity that takes place there, then the magistrate or potentially the district attorney would make a decision as to whether they would want to prosecute that claim. But I would recommend seeking legal counsel about that soon. We do want to, you know, keep this from escalating any further. We certainly don't want anyone to be hurt on the property. And we do appreciate that phone call, Ernest.
All right. Thank you for the call, Ernest. And again, get that to legal help.
The law is increasingly complex, and the growing staff of Harvell & Collins stands ready to untangle your legal challenges. Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins, along with associates Russell Alexander and Andrew Foster, practicing in all areas of civil practice, including estate planning, elder law and asset protection, representation of the elderly, estate-related matters, collections and foreclosures, corporate and business, and also civil trial practice in these and all other civil matters. Call to arrange your free initial consultation at 252-726-9050. Plus, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins answer your questions live each Tuesday morning at 7:30 on Let's Talk Legal. Tune in to Coastal Daybreak Tuesday mornings at 7:30 on the talk station and call in with your legal question.
If you are planning on selling your condo and you know that there's some potential litigation going on, do you need to disclose that?
If it's your question, it's important to Harvell and Collins, Attorneys at Law, 1107 Bridges Street in Moorhead City.
Well, welcome back. Well, you got right into some pretty heavy but also typical litigation that comes with neighbors
and Florida. Great questions, Kurt and Ernest. And I think that maybe when Cecil's here, he describes things better than I do because we get less calls. Maybe I just don't give all the information. So, but this is
exactly where both of these folks were, though. They needed to start that process,
right?
And it starts with the complaint, not the criminal complaint,
right?
But the civil complaint.
Yeah, I would say, Ben, for almost every case I deal with. The initial consultation to sit down and talk with the client or potential client is no charge.
Right.
And, you know, I don't have time every day to, you know, sit with everybody and just have appointment after appointment where I don't do anything, actual get involved, you know, with the cases. But just that little bit of legal advice normally can really help folks right from the beginning. And it sounds like Ernest
so you're not having
is,
to put out a fire.
Yeah, Kurt's question with regard to the water diversion, he's kind of at the right point right now. Let's get on this thing and address it before it gets worse. Right. Ernest needs to move quickly on that, too.
And, again, if you want to find out more, you want to call on HarvellandCollins.com.